Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky, broadcasting from our best yet broadcast studios in Boston. NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Now here's Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky.
Yep, the Patriots bi-week edition of NFL Sunday. Mutt, Keefe, and Fourier, Sports Radio WEEI. We know now what's, we know who's not coming to Gillette. That'll be the Houston Texans.
Already bad news for the Pats.
Yeah, that would have been.
That's the team you wanted.
Yeah, it would have worked out pretty well.
They stink.
Of the three teams, see, I was stuck between a rock and a hard place. I picked the Texans to get to the Super Bowl.
What?
Before the year.
Beginning of the year. Okay.
But they also would have been the best matchup for the Patriots of these three, I think.
Definitely the best matchup. Absolutely the best matchup. Chargers and Ravens are both real teams. They're both legit teams. I think we've seen the Ravens come in here and win. The Chargers are maybe the most complete wild card team in a while, so I definitely wanted the Texans, and too bad.
It will not be the Texans. It'll be the Chargers or Ravens. We'll find out just after 4 o'clock today, I'd say, for 3-hour NFL game. Christian Fourier joins us as well. Christian, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
There he is. What's up, buddy?
Oh, just Doug and I enjoying some really good donuts. I found a really good donut shop, boys. You guys are missing out.
Is that
oh,
right?
Oh, my God.
Right.
We're like, it's like a donut orgy up in
come back with Damian
box.
And Woody.
All right, well, we'll see you next week. You know, save some of those donuts.
He's going to say, oh, you're rubbing in our face now. We're going to be down there. We'll be at Gillette next week with you
right. The
shed for Patriots. And Ravens, Patriots or Ravens or Patriots and Chargers, depending on what happens.
That's right.
Poor Bill O'Brien.
Poor Bill O'Brien?
Because
I think he stinks. Developing opinion. Stinks.
Because I
stinks
like him.
Coach.
Do I have to have a real deep, dark reason for it? I like him as a coach. He's a hardworking guy.
Hold on. Let me ask you this. You like him as a coach or you like
I
him
do.
As a person?
Well, you know what? I tell you what. I don't know exactly about his his actual philosophy as far as how he calls plays and stuff like that. But as a coach, as a player, you respect a guy that's honest, that'll give you brutal truth, that'll challenge you.
Yeah.
That's the type of coach that now his play calling ability and everything else, now that's different.
Right.
But
he had them ready
like
to go yesterday.
Coach.
I'll tell you what. He had those guys ready to go at home.
That was pathetic.
Oh my God.
That was pathetic. Now, a lot of it's going to fall on the quarterback, and this is where I'll give Christian Fourier credit right off the bat. We're going to bang on him all day for this Patriots take he's had. But way back in week whatever it was, when the Pats played the Texans.
It was week one. Yeah.
And Fourier made the case right there. We don't know how good Deshaun Watson is. Trying to explain how good coming off the injury, how great he was in college. He was brutal yesterday.
He was bad.
You know, he's under pressure throughout the entire game, and his offensive line sucks.
One of the worst offensive lines.
But he could not make any plays downfield. He could not get the ball to his best receiver. He had to continuously go to Kiki Kuti.
Yeah, Kiki Kuti,
over
nice
and
player.
Over and over again.
Hey, nice.
But Hopkins was a non-factor in that game. And Fourier, I stand corrected 18 weeks later. You might be right. Deshaun Watson is not in that upper echelon of quarterbacks.
Well,
I want to put him in to start the
year. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Easy. Hey, nobody asked for your opinion.
You can't
there,
play
keeper.
Like that. You can't.
Right,
you cannot play
out.
That. You can't play
he's
like that.
Some
and I was putting right, him in that.
On.
I was putting him in that top tier, like of the best quarterbacks
the
in the league.
Five? He's definitely in the top 10.
He's not.
He's definitely in the top 10 quarterbacks. That was a bad playoff.
But he's not in the Pat Mahomes, Drew Brees.
Well, Pat Mahomes won the MVP.
Andrew Luck.
All right, that's fine. Below the.
Not
okay.
In that top tier. And I want to put him there based on how he finished last year and based on his college
experience. What about
experience
that nice stat that they had? He's the only guy that's thrown for over like 4,000 yards, rushed for over 500 yards, threw for over 25 touchdowns, rushed for over five touchdowns. Who does that? Nobody. Just him.
That guy didn't play that yet. That was not him yesterday.
That's a good Colts defense.
Oh, really? That's... Yeah, he looked lost. He looked he looked confused.
Well, Watson has a terrible offensive line and an overrated head coach. So you combine those two things, and what do you really want him to do? If he had a better head coach, maybe he'd win more games. That's what I think.
I look at those two fourth down calls in the first half alone. I just hated the play call.
Brutal.
Even the one
inside
the 10, it was just so bad. Like, why?
Yeah, where was he going to fit
it?
That ball? And the one in the end zone, where was he trying to throw that ball? And that little window, you gave yourself a 2x2 box to try to hit Hopkins. And that was the only place he was going to have an opportunity. It was
it's
terrible.
Such a low percentage throw. It's just, it's like, do we want to make the first down? I mean, are we just trying to make up for all the crappy plays and just let's just go for the home run like a prayer? It was so confusing. They missed out on so many opportunities. And you can even tell the body language of the players. they just kind of knew. They were like, oh, no, this is not our day. You could just tell. They just didn't have it. And compared to the Colts, offensively and defensively, third down alone for the Colts was unreal in the first half. I don't know if you missed the throw in the first half on third down. And then defensively, every time they made a third down stop, they were all unified and raising their hands, putting the fist up in the air for fourth down. It was obvious that who had the momentum, even though the Colts were the visitors.
The Texans all year had done a good job stopping the run, and Marlon Mack just carved them up.
Only 100-yard rusher against them.
They had been so good against the run all
Marlon
year.
Marlon Mack.
And their offensive line, they spent some time with the broadcast yesterday, that really good Joe Test, Jason Witten, Booger McFarland broadcast.
Goodness.
Talking about the draft picks and how they've hit. Their offensive line, their two first picks, both guys were both named All-Pro. And
that's crazy.
The kid Nelson
in
the line is an absolute beast.
And they monster.
Just threw guys out of the way, and once the running game got going, you knew it was over because they'd stopped the run, as you said, all year. They had not allowed a 100-yard rusher. And Luck is – I saw Volan today in his column in the Globe say if he had an MVP vote, he would vote for Andrew Luck. It's tough to argue given how what else this team has.
He's
they don't have a
strong.
Lot.
Yeah.
He is
what were they,
had
one
a very
five?
Good year. Yes.
They're 1-5 to
slow
begin
start.
The year, and then they make the playoffs at 10-6. And they're the hottest team going right now. The Ravens are pretty hot too, but I don't think anybody's hotter than the Colts. And yeah, that guy Darius Leonard led the NFL in tackles, is named to the All-Pro, not a Pro Bowler, but he's All-Pro, so you can figure that out at another time. But second-round pick. So I think a lot of people thought the Patriots maybe needed a linebacker, right? And they drafted Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel, both ahead of Darius Leonard. I love doing that. It's not fair. A lot of teams passed up on Darius Leonard, but that's just the reality of it. Quentin Nelson's one thing. He's the 6th overall pick. Not a lot of people have an opportunity to get him. But 30 teams or 32 teams had an opportunity to get Darius Leonard, and they all missed on him. And that's a great pick. He looks like a real good player. Going back to the coaching, so John McClain, who has covered Houston forever, right? Like he's been, I think he's
From
covered.
Die Hard?
Yes. He's covered them since they were a franchise, and maybe even the Oilers before that.
He's
been there forever.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Definitely one of those guys. He does his grades right for like after the game.
Sure.
So coaching, how does he grade the coaching?
It's got to be an F.
Even better. The Texans didn't look ready to play, falling behind 14-0 in the first quarter and 21-0 at halftime. That's an indictment of Bill O'Brien and his staff. They were outcoached by Frank Wright and his assistants. Grade. F minus.
Well, I don't like to grade myself.
Wow. F minus.
Oh, it's incredible. Well, it's fair. They made no adjustments.
Yep.
They had to go for it early. They fell behind. They did nothing different. They just kept trying to do the same thing over and over again.
He gave Deshaun Watson a C for what it's worth. Overall,
let me guess,
F-.
He put a lot of blame on the offensive line.
He just says Deshaun Watson saved his worst game for last. He didn't appear to be in sync with his receivers for much of the game except for Kiki QT. He threw his first interception in 7 games. So
When you think about the coaching, it's like, is Bill O'Brien trending towards that Marvin Lewis type?
Marvin Lewis 2.0.
Really?
I already did. Now, he does have one playoff win, which Marvin Lewis did. Marvin Lewis 0-7, so that's really quite a bar to achieve. 1-3 now, Bill O'Brien as a playoff coach. The one win came against the Oakland Raiders when Derek Carr was hurt, and they had to start Connor Cook. I throw that one out. Doesn't count. So
well, they
lost,
all count their playoff.
They
wins.
Lost 30-0 to the Chiefs.
But who did the 30 Texans to nothing start to in the that Chiefs? Game? Who did the Texans start?
I don't know. Matt Schaub.
I think it was Brian. Was it Brian Hoyer?
No. Hoyer. No.
I don't think
that
it was. No. Field Yates. No, not Field Yates.
T.J. Yates. May have been T.J. Yates.
Hold on, I gotta find this.
Brian Hoyer was the guy they started when they lost 30-0 to the Chiefs. And then 2 years ago, they, of course, lost to the Patriots. That was a relatively close game. I think it ended up being like 34-16. But in the 3 losses, they've been outscored something like 85-23. You know, because yesterday, just a 21-7 final.
So
1-3 as a head coach in five years, 3 playoff appearances, 1-3.
You know, like last week we were talking about how, at least Keith, you brought up the fact that, you know, the worst thing to have as an organization, as one of those quarterbacks that is kind of like not great, not terrible, kind of like right on the fence.
Yeah, like just good enough to keep. Right.
Yeah, so you end up like, well, how, you know, do we risk trying to find someone that could be better, but how long is that going to take? And we're satisfied. Okay, let's build around them, whatever. You go through that whole mentality circus in your head. I feel like Marvin Lewis and Bill O'Brien are like that same type of guy. It's like,
yeah, you could do worse, but you could also certainly do better.
What if we lose him? Who are we going to replace him with?
And it's going to be frustrating for them.
Like, I mean, he's already kind of set down. We know we're going to like be competitive every year. Maybe, you know, we get some luck and we get to the second round. So it's like, do we really switch gears, right? I mean, so
it's probably how my wife feels about me. Well, you know,
could I upgrade, could I, but also there is a chance.
Is it worth it? You know, the kids. I mean, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of paperwork.
It's cheaper to stay together, baby.
I'll just stay with them. That's what the Texans are going to do with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah,
because his name did come up. You guys are right. At the beginning of the year, when they had that bad start, his name came up as one of the coaches who could be fired this year. But they make this great run. They get into the postseason, and I don't think. As bad as it was yesterday, I don't think they're going to want to reset the entire organization at this point. They're not going to want to do that. There's no chance.
No, and I think it's
openings, and these other teams are struggling to fill coaching vacancies.
I think he'll keep his job, but
no, he is, because you look at all the other teams and the crazy, like, you know, merry-go-round that they're going on with coaches. 1 year, 2 year, let's try again. No, let's try again. Oh, okay, give him 1 more year. I'm not really sure. You never really committed. It's dead man walking throughout the entire season. You know, everybody feels it. Everybody's uptight. You know, it's just when you find a coach that's at least competent, right, and that the players respect, I feel like that's half the battle. Now, the stupid calls and the decision-making, you may need to interject and be like, listen, we need to find you, like, you know, some help, and you need to take it. We like the way you organize it and control the
locker room. So they lose
the
coordinator. He's going to be told he's got to upgrade a coordinator.
Yeah, you're going to have to stop calling the plays, you know, because
that's not a good sign, though, is it? It's like, you're still the coach, but now we're taking away your responsibilities, or we're going to...
Well, he's an offensive guy, too, so
I know
now
he
he's going to be told he can't... It's,
and he actually even say the defensive side of the ball, like Romeo Crennel, the guy's 71 years old, he's been doing this forever. That defense got pushed around, and like they had no. It's like they never played before. It's like they had no clue what was coming and how to stop it. I was listening to the pregame show on the radio, and you know, we mentioned how the Colts ran for over 100 yards, and then they were basically saying, like, no one runs on the Houston Texans, like it's impossible.
Yeah. I'm
like,
Marlon Mack did just fine.
Yeah, and sure, you know who Marlon what. Marlon where?
Right. Marlon Mack.
Okay. That's so it's not like, you know, Ezekiel Elliott or Todd Gurley beat you up.
No, it was not. It was Marlon Mack. Yeah, Bill O'Brien spent 5 years. He went 9-7 his first 3 years there. Then last year, Deshaun Watson got hurt. They finished 4-12. And then this year, Deshaun Watson was healthy. They went 11-5. But he's also the answer when you're talking about who's the best of the Bill Belichick coaching tree. Bill O'Brien's the best, and I don't even think he's that good. So, and I know each guy, you got to take them sort of as their.
So, we're not
individual.
Giving him any credit for the college coaches?
No, I don't give him any credit at all.
Fitzgerald's a guy.
Pat
Fitzgerald, Kirk Ferentz, and Nick Saban.
I give
those
him
three guys are
zero
all
zero credit.
What do you mean?
Zero.
Who's that?
You know what? I'll give you Nick Saban at Miami. Add that to the list. Add him in the NFL. I'll give him there. You don't get him at Alabama.
Did Nick Saban
you don't get him at
call on Drew Brees? Is that
yes.
going to give him the blame
yes,
for that? Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees?
Yeah. So, and this may not be fair, but there's so many of these guys. And I know we can get into this conversation later on, but you look at Brian Flores and Josh McDaniels getting all these job interviews now, whereas before you'd say, well, who's been good? Like, Mangini is a disaster. Romeo Crennel, not very good. I would say Matt Patricia, disaster already. You're like, well, why would you want one of these guys? Why would you want somebody from Belichick? Just because they've been around
because
with him for a while doesn't mean he's going to be any good.
That's how
the league
that's
works.
How big the mystique. Well, that's one. But the mystique of Belichick is that powerful. Belichick got a second chance, and people look at it and say,
but how many
especially with Josh McDaniels,
would you be terrible for you to say, you know what, let's go somewhere else?
Not to the point where you're not going to get interviewed.
More.
If you're Brian, I mean, Matt Patricia, I mean, all these guys, if you coordinate for Belichick, essentially you are going to get a job.
Yeah,
because
they're
chasing Bill Belichick. You can mock them for doing it, but look at the candidates. Hugh Jackson's getting interviewed again.
Well, that's dumber.
He's got an
opportunity. Yeah,
Marvin Lewis stuck around forever. We can go through the retreads they brought back over and over again.
Okay. Both of those examples are the Bengals.
Steve Wilkes got a job last year.
No, I know. Bruce Arians is interviewing. There's a lot of trash.
Arians is going to get the job in Tampa. They're going to give Bruce Arians a job. They're going to say, go coach Jameis Winston.
I know. There's a lot of idiots out
there. He was on TV for a year.
He was.
Whispered on TV. He would talk like this.
Wore the hat.
And puts the hat on. Good for you, Bruce. And he's going to get a job again.
Yeah, I don't
that's the league.
That's a dumb. Yeah, but I wouldn't be so surprised by that. I mean, there's... See, I liked it. Like, if you're an owner, like, do you want to take your chance on a young coordinator that, like,
yes,
use Vance?
Yes.
Yeah, let me stop
yes,
right there.
You're playing Russian roulette. Good luck. You have no idea if he can figure
those
it out.
Those guys are
no
unknown. The other guys are all known.
You would rather go retread Dan Reeves again?
Jim Caldwell?
Adam Gase?
Mike Shanahan?
That's what you'd rather have than Sean McVay?
You guys mock those guys.
Yes,
you guys mock those guys.
Correct.
And how many Sean McVays are there?
And he's awesome.
Look at Sean McVay's team.
What about Frank Wright?
Okay, and I would say...
Doug Peterson. Those are some nice coaches we're naming.
No, they are. I just see, like, there's so many. It's so freaking hard to get any sort of traction in the league where you get some space away from, like, the whole firing rumor, hot seat rumor, right? Like, how much do you have to do? Like, I talked to a coach this week who coaches at San Francisco.
Name him.
No.
Kyle Shanahan.
Okay, well, guess what? I'm going to go to the 49ers coaching
roster. All right, here we go.
Okay, do you want me to tell the story or not?
Yeah. Okay.
And he said the best thing, he was like sitting there looking at all the other coaches, and he was like, yo, the best thing that happened to us is that we didn't win right away. Like, we didn't win right away. You didn't go 9-7. You didn't go 10-6 like Todd Bowles. And, you know, there wasn't this Adam Gase his first year. So there wasn't this instant, okay, listen, all right, this is going to be like this every year. Now, they have some more time, and then Garoppolo gets hurt. That gives you another year, because it's almost the organization feels like, you know, you're not dealing with a full deck. So, you know, figure it out.
But for you, that also clearly depends on what team you take over, right? If you take over the Bengals or the Buccaneers, yeah, you can go 6-10, and they're not going to lose their minds. But if you take over the Packers right now, or I think even the Browns, and you don't make the playoffs, aren't, like, your expectations should be higher. Like, they're not all,
yes,
there's eight openings. They're not all the same. Like, if you show up there, some of them you do have to win right away because the talent's already there. San Francisco wasn't. So they have an opportunity to build something. These other teams, especially the ones that have a quarterback, like, you have to win now.
I would say the Green Bay Packers, that's the most precarious situation.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you have, just call him Tom Brady. Wisconsin version of Tom Brady. So, listen, you should be at least be in the playoffs.
That's not a bad thing.
You know, so it should be easy for you to win, right? Just drop some plays, and even if you screw it up, he's going to fix it. So you're already at an advantage over every other team. So the expectations are, I don't know, if, like, if Joshua Daniels wants those expectations, or if he rather, like, be that guy, like is he looking at the Indianapolis Colts right now and thinking about what could have been? Or the Indianapolis Colts looking like, wow, we sure did dodge a bullet, because who knows of what Josh.
I think
Daniels
both. Hey,
done.
Christian, how about this? Both the Colts are thrilled to have Frank Reich. He's come in there. He's given them attitude. I mocked him early in the year. They had that terrible go for the win play. Was that the game in London? And they tried to win it. We mocked him for it. It has worked out, and now they are only 5.5-point underdogs on the road at Kansas City next week.
They're going to win that game.
People are giving them a chance to win that game
as a
sixth seed to go into Kansas City and win. On the other hand, yes. Josh McDaniels is looking at saying, "Boy, if I knew Andrew Luck was good, if I knew
thing.
That Chris Ballard was going to draft these two
mind.
Guys yeah. for me, and my the team I'm coaching, my two draft picks are Sony Michel and Isaiah Wynn.
The Colts' entire draft is like playing for them right now. They have the two all pros, but even everybody else like plays and is on the team, whereas every guy the Patriots drafted is on IR. Every single guy.
Where's Braxton Berrios in that half shirt of his?
Duke
Let's
Dawson.
Go.
I think this could be the week for Duke Dawson.
I'm feeling really good. That guy?
I'm feeling really good about Duke Dawson.
So, Forey, isn't it both? Aren't the Colts happy they didn't get him? And isn't McDaniels looking at it and texting his buddies like, crap, I should have taken that job?
Yeah, because, and not to even know, maybe things just are obviously different. It's just funny, like, looking what the position that Josh McDaniels left them in. And look at all the coaches. Like, even the, I can't
Dukes.
Even say the defensive coordinator's name. Eberflus or something like that.
Yeah,
crazy.
That's a guy who's going to get, based on yesterday's effort, he's on some lists already. He is going to get all sorts of interviews after the season now.
Yeah,
after
Josh did a good job of like identifying assistant coaches. Like, he got a really good defensive coordinator. Now, okay, now who are you going to get? You know, maybe bring that guy with you.
Googs is there. Is it Guglielmo who's here?
That's
with
my favorite
BC?
Part. He sits down with the Browns. Like, who are you getting? He's like, well, I got a couple guys on the Colts staff. They'll come with me. A couple guys here on the
guys.
Patriots
look how good
staff.
Matt Eberflus is. I picked him out. Look how good he is. That defense.
Don't worry about it. I got a few mystery guys too. It's like, you need to tell us who they are. He's like,
we want you to be surprised.
I don't feel like signing anything today. I'll be back. Like,
okay. One of the online sites, I think it might be Bet Online Sports or Bet Sports AG. They have McDaniels as the favorite, not only to be the coach in Green Bay, but also
Cleveland. Yeah.
So that somebody thinks that he's going to get one of those two jobs. If he's looking for a job, it can only be one of those two, because either in Cleveland,
that's it.
You get Baker Mayfield, and there's pressure there. There's a lot more pressure in Green Bay. We also have Aaron Rodgers and a pretty good offense the minute you show up there. With
all the other jobs are pretty much trash. I don't think the Jets job is that bad, but McDaniels will never go there. There nobody from the Patriots.
He doesn't want to be out of the family.
Right, exactly. He's not doing that. But because they have Darnold,
yeah, Arizona,
that's the only
even
other
with
one
Rose
right.
and Arizona,
yeah, I don't
trash.
Like that one. Miami's a mess. Denver. All these teams don't have quarterbacks.
Denver should be good, though, right?
And a quarterback.
Still have Von Miller defensively. You should contend in the AFC West next year, I think.
No.
Chiefs, Paxton Lynch, Chiefs not like, the guy?
Chiefs,
no.
Chiefs, Chargers? No, you're not competing out there. They got to find a quarterback. I don't know how they're going to do that. And this doesn't seem like a very good draft for it.
Because of that, because of what happened yesterday, and we'll get to the NFC game at some point here this morning, because of what happened with the Texans, them falling on their face, Colts go to Kansas City. You get the winner of this game. You get Baltimore and San Diego 105. They both present different challenges. Come back and talk about those two teams, and we'll find out. Maybe we'll open up some phone calls and who Patriots fans. What's the better opponent for you as a Pats fan? Because you know what it's going to be now. It's one of these two teams this afternoon. 617-779-7937, the phone number. Tommy Curran is going to join us at some point. Tommy Curran wrote a very good story at NBCSportsBoston.com, stirring it up once again when it comes to Tom Brady. He was critical. Like a lot of us were, the Jonathan Kraft answer on Tom Brady's contract. And he asked some very tough questions. Tom will join us at some point. We'll get to a bunch of other stuff as well. It's a bye week for the Pats, but it'll be Ravens or Chargers next Sunday here on NFL Sunday, Sports Radio WEEI.
NFL Sunday with Fourier, Mudd, and Keefe is presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplify. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Back to NFL Sunday on Sports Radio WEEI.
I think the problems are going to mount themselves when they go on the road. Look, they'll play good against Buffalo. They'll play good against the Jets. That they'll be 11-5. But if they're the third seed and they got to play Baltimore, that'll be a hard game for them, because Baltimore, as the sixth seed, will be able to spread them out horizontally and force them to defend the width of the field and the length of the field. And that'll be a problem for their defense. And Baltimore's defense typically will play good against the Patriots.
Not the sixth seed, but I think you get the picture. Ravens and Chargers today, 105 here on WEEI. You'll hear that game. You'll hear the late game Bears and Eagles. And the winner in the early game comes to Gillette next week for divisional round football. It feels like the world believes the Ravens are a tougher matchup for the Patriots, including Mike Lombardi. Do you guys agree Ravens would be the tougher opponent next weekend?
I think Ravens slightly tougher. You know, last week talking about the three possible opponents, I put both of them ahead of Houston. So I think these are both tougher. Like, no matter after yesterday's results, the Patriots have the toughest possible matchup. I think it's the Ravens because of their defense. Foray, what do you think?
Yeah, I guess I'm the only one that says I think that the Ravens. I would prefer the Ravens personally.
Oh, okay.
Because yeah, they create their own set of challenges, but they're few. Right? They don't have a bunch of weapons. They have one style of offense. That's it. So, if you can, you know, and they have and the Patriots have a good defense, a smart defense, a veteran group defensively, and they only have one guy. That's it. They have one dude. They have no receivers. They have two tight ends that are good. But other than that, I mean, really, you're just stopping Lamar Jackson, and that's it.
But how come teams haven't really been able to do that? Like, I kind of I understand what you're saying. Like, he's clearly not going to kill you passing, but he's had success. Like, since he's become the starter, they've won a ton of games.
Yeah, I think that is the Colin Kaepernick, Robert Griffin III. I put those guys in the same category. He's brand new. He's fresh. You don't really know what you got until you face him. I think his speed shocks
Kaepernick
people.
Kaepernick got a Super Bowl.
I know, but what happened the next year?
So can he just continue? All he has to do is win one game in New England. That's all we care about.
Well, I think what'll be interesting is how the Chargers play him. Like, the Chargers played them once before, so do they sit there
and lost?
We have nothing to be surprised about now, right? We've seen his speed. We know what they can do.
They just played in Week 16. They just saw this guy. You're right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that'll be a good key, right? You're playing them the second time. And, listen, maybe they still don't figure him out. But when I watched him in college, and I know he's not that far removed, later on in the season, when he started playing better teams, just teams that could run with him, right? Now, not a lot of people can, because he's got world-class speed. But once they played against better teams where the whole team was fast, then he had trouble. He lots of fumbles, lots of interceptions, and it's just
Are the Patriots fast defensively?
No.
Yeah, there you go.
They're slow. That's the exact opposite.
Like, I
would say that you just have to be. To me, it's like, you know, and Lombardi mentioned it. It's kind of a little like Army Navy, like those teams that prepare for Army Navy when they only have a week to prepare for them. they're usually at a disadvantage. So what these teams do is when they know they're on the schedule, they start prepping for him in the summer, right? They start repping it. And but for Lamar Jackson, that's why I think it's their challenges are still great, but there's only like one of them. So and that's stopping Lamar Jackson. And so who are you going to have that's going to play Lamar Jackson? Who's going to be your scout team Lamar Jackson on the Patriots team, right? Because he's going to give you the looks. Now, do they have anybody on their team, forget about offense or defense, that can that has enough speed where you go, okay, I get how fast he is, right?
No.
And now I agree with you.
I don't think they do.
But I, when they have one person to focus on, and I think they can commit another guy in the box and still cover because I think they have a good secondary, a good enough secondary to cover their wide receivers one-on-one, well, then you could commit an extra defender up there or spy him or whatever you want to do and take your chances with him throwing the ball because everything has to be perfect. One, he's going to have to throw a good pass, which I don't think is very accurate. Two, his receiver is going to have to get open and create some space. Okay, maybe it happens sometimes, but it's not going to happen all the time. Now all those things have to meet together. I don't know. That's just that's the way I'm looking at it. But because I look at Indy, and they have a good running game and a good passing game and a good defense.
Is that how you look at the Chargers, too? You think the Chargers?
Oh, yeah.
Phillip Rivers is obviously a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson is. And like he's, but he's obviously he's never going to run. But I mean, it's the opposite.
I think we're spending too much time on Lamar Jackson. We can put him as part of the conversation. But I would just say the Ravens' running game in general with Jackson,
Gus
Dixon,
Edwards.
Gus Edwards, they run over teams and they hold the ball for 30. They had the ball for over 35 minutes a game since he took over starting there. So it limits your possessions. So I've seen this Patriots offense struggle this year. I don't think it's all Tom Brady. We've done this segment a million times. It's three or four or five different reasons why they're not as good as we thought they were going to be. And I don't put any stock in the Jets game. You got to say the Jets didn't care. The Jets were happy to get out of it. They didn't prepare for that game.
Yeah, that was a mess.
They started guys I'd never heard of in their defense. So, okay, great. Tom Brady looked good in a game that did not matter for the Jets. Their offense has struggled, and you're going to have fewer opportunities against Baltimore to get your offense going. And defensively, they are awesome. They're not 2000 Ravens, but in this day and age where it's really tough to play defense, they're second in points, they're first in total yards, they're fifth in passing yards, they're fourth in rushing yards. They've made really good quarterbacks like Phillip Rivers in Week 16 look awful. That was the Thursday night game, right? He looked pathetic in that game, or Saturday night game, whatever it was. And that's, to me, more than Lamar Jackson, the star quarterback, the running game and their defense present a huge problem for the Patriots in terms of what they want to do and trying to get something going. Even at home, it presents a big problem.
And we said the Colts are the hottest team in football. The Ravens are right there. And since their bye week, since they've gone to Lamar Jackson, they only have one loss, and it was in overtime in Kansas City.
Yeah.
That's as good of a loss as you're going to find. And so the other thing is you obviously never want to play on Wild Card weekend, and it's great the Patriots have the bye and all of that. But whoever wins this game today, that's a nice little momentum boost as well. Like, it's a big win, whether it's the Ravens at home or if the Chargers prove they can win a playoff game on the road, they take that momentum into New England as well. So these are two really good teams. They are. They're different, for sure.
Much different.
Baltimore's defense
much more balanced than the Chargers. And the Chargers might be a more explosive offensive team.
Well, Chargers,
but I mean, the Pats could put up some points on that Charger defense.
If the Chargers are in any other division, they're not even playing today. They're 12-4. I mean, they were a great team. They split with the Chiefs.
And if the Patriots are in the AFC West, they're playing this weekend.
Correct.
Flip-flop those.
Right. They easily could have been playing. And I know there was the Miami situation, but then they got some luck by, you know, Nick Foles and the Eagles coming back and beating the Houston Texans. Otherwise, you know, they're reversed. We're not talking about Bill O'Brien losing another playoff game. We're talking about the Patriots playing today or yesterday.
Yeah. And there's something about, like, when I looked at the Ravens and just as far as their defense, yes, it's a very good defense. They're great against the run, but I always looked at it as like their blitz packages, as extensive as it is and how creative as it is and aggressive, I always felt like there was always lots of opportunities. So I looked forward to like our third down session that we put in during the week, right? Because I knew I was going to have a lot of one-on-one opportunities. They could possibly drop coverage. The ball was going to come out quick. I knew that I was going to get more opportunities, especially watch the Chargers. They'll throw the ball down the field. They'll challenge the corners and they'll sit there and go, okay, you want to play this way and not give them any help? All right, let's challenge them. Let's stress them out. And then here comes this big, you know, 60-yard touchdown bomb. So, I looked at it as the way I looked at it. So when I looked at the Baltimore, it's like, ooh, they like to blitz a lot. I love it. Like, I like it when defenses blitz because somebody always screws up.
Wasn't Brady worse this year against the blitz than he's ever been before?
Yes.
At least for a while. I don't know how the record.
A couple game stretches where they would show ESPN would have that like top 10, bottom 10 guys in the league. And
he was down there with like Rosen and Stafford and Darnold. Like it was a bizarre list to see Tom Brady's name on.
Yeah, no, I remember.
I don't know how it finished for the season, but yeah.
I remember, it was a ESPN matchup stat that they use. And it was like, whoa, geez, he's usually. But I think when you look at it more, you see the throwaways. You see him bailing on plays, and you go, okay, how do you attribute that? Like, what is that? I still think or is it because he doesn't have the guys are running the wrong routes, right? Like Josh Gordon is running a go instead of a dig, And
he's not here anymore. Let's not blame Josh Gordon for stuff. All right.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Well,
but he was part of it. Yeah, he was part of it, And Gronk wasn't out there. Whatever. So so I still think that he's dangerous. And go ahead, they'll challenge him. So but I would like to see that matchup. I want to see the Chargers matchup.
You want to see that.
Wait, the Ravens. I want to see the Ravens.
What about the coaching spot? Because I think John Harbaugh is one of the better coaches in the NFL. And the Patriots always have the advantage, but sometimes more so than others. Like Bill Belichick versus Andy Reid, you think the Patriots have it significantly. Bill Belichick, John Harbaugh, at least for me, I think it's a lot closer.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny because I remember in the middle of the year when he was struggling, there was like talk about him being fired. I'm like, so stupid. He's such a good coach. He is such he's a great coach as far as just the players and the schemes and just everything. I thought it was insane. Like, a coach can't have one bad year, especially when they're going through a transition at quarterback. I mean, come on. No. And there's always the Baltimore Ravens. Attached with that the Ravens aren't afraid of the Patriots. Rah, they'll come in here and
because they've had some huge playoff games against them. They came in here in 2009 and blew their doors off. They almost beat them if not for a weird play at the end.
Evans doesn't drop a pass, or it's either known as the Lee Evans drop or the Sterling Moore breakup, depending on what side you're on. Lee Evans dropped the ball.
Sterling Moore
absolutely made a good play. You got there, but if Lee Evans is able to, if it's a real receiver.
So you mock that, Christian, that the Ravens have given the Patriots some of their toughest games in the AFC?
No, I don't. But it's like, when was the last time they won?
John Harbaugh has never made the playoffs and not won a game. I don't know if I can say that any better. So every year makes the playoffs, always, he wins at least one game.
At least one.
He hasn't. Marvin Lewis did it all.
Now, he's also missed the playoffs. He missed the playoffs the last 3 years prior to this year, but he is a career 10-5 in the playoffs. That's pretty remarkable. That's a really good playoff record.
See, and I he is okay, it sounds like, going into next year without a contract. And to Christian's point, the next year is the last year of his deal, doesn't have an extension right now, and it seems like unless they do win this game today, he ain't getting an extension. That's They're going to so let him dumb. Go into next year as a lame duck coach. He'd be the hottest commodity they got rid of him.
There's an example of a retread coach. I would say hire him in a second. Like he would be the top guy somewhere else.
And he is not an easy guy to he's an easy guy to find annoying, right? He complains about the officials, the flakegate stuff, the rules. I forgot about the rules thing.
He's a loser.
He oversaw the Ray Rice situation. There are things not to like, but as a coach,
great coach.
He is somewhere in the group of guys. If you want to, and I'm not even sure this exists anymore, but it used to be Belichick and everybody else. I don't think it's quite. Getting struck down by lightning.
Yeah, you better be careful.
Is a church day?
I
don't think Bill Belichick necessarily is the best coach in the NFL anymore. By himself. But Harbaugh is in that next group after that.
Hey, those guys got to study the rule book and figure it out.
That was a great line.
John Harbaugh wanted to put red babies on ineligible. Next year.
He's easy to find annoying. But he's a good coach. Good coach.
So dumb.
No, but like Sean Payton, Sean McVay, John Harbaugh. That's the group that.
Think about it. Corey is right. Mid season. They go for a complete 180 at quarterback. They go from a jump ball Joe Flacco,
who drops back and throws
deep balls to John Brown and all these other guys they have there.
Brown.
And now, in the middle of the year, they go to read option look with a guy who was playing college football a year ago. Yeah. And they get themselves to...
It's known as a rookie.
Yes.
they did the same thing in Seattle with Pete Carroll. They went through the same... they went through the same transition. Like, here's a team, the Legion of Boom is gone. They weren't supposed to make the playoffs. They have Russell Wilson. They just decide they're going to run it. They're just going to run the football like crazy.
Oh, by the way, and on that, so awful to watch. Cowboys, Seahawks, oh, let's run. Let's turn and run. Let's turn and run. I'm like, oh, my
I'll be
God.
Honest, I'll
throw
be,
the ball.
We're in the safe space, right?
You like it?
I fell asleep.
Oh, God. Yeah, no kidding.
I fell asleep
no kidding
somewhere in the second quarter and woke
for
up.
You, that was boring
for the
as hell. Holy smokes.
Well, it's so funny.
Hand
so
it
actually,
off. Hand. I was like, it's 7.
An hour nap.
Actually, we have a better chance
good
picking
hour
up the
nap.
Old run. Little ISO, throw it. Snap yeah. shotgun, throw it! It's, yeah. it's 2019, throw the ball!
You have Tyler
well,
Lockett
so funny.
And Doug
oh
Baldwin.
God, it's outrageous! And
you,
Russ Wilson.
You
traded a first-round pick for Amari Cooper, throw the ball to him!
It's so funny. You guys, they did throw the ball to Amari Cooper.
No, I know they did.
But, pretty good.
They,
Russell Wilson.
It's so funny.
Oh,
so, like, what was
God.
It when the Chargers played Kansas City? There was this whole, like, crazy, like, it was like a whole week and a half of, this is the way the NFL is going to be. Wow.
No,
isn't
it was
fantastic.
Rams. It was Chiefs Rams.
Oh, was it
yeah,
Rams?
It was Chiefs,
the Monday Night Shootout, yeah.
And I was like,
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
yes, this is
yeah.
the best
no.
ever. That went away.
And I was
gone.
Like,
Hand off.
Because once
Chris
you,
Carson,
once you,
Ezekiel Elliott, Chris Carson,
nope.
Ezekiel Elliott.
No,
what are you doing?
It doesn't.
And then
pick
I knew
it. Up,
it. And you're like, okay, keep it going.
You know what?
Was
it was
awful.
Easy for them to score a lot of points because they had unbelievable skill at like every single position. So you knew it was going to be up and down
right,
the
right.
field. But you, but the, what teams have that ability? Like four of them. Five at the tops. So what are the Saints? So what are the Seahawks do?
The Saints, by the way, want to run the football.
What are the Baltimore Ravens do? They say, you know
Saints
what? We're just going to freaking run it.
They still throw it. I mean, that is just – I mean, so the Ravens are going to be like that. You know, the Ravens are going to be just as boring on offense.
But, and that is why, to me, they pose a much bigger threat than the Chargers do because the Patriots, their strength is their secondary. So Phil Rivers wants to take shots downfield with one of the Williams boys or Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen's awesome.
I actually trust the Patriots secondary.
Sure.
I think it's a good group this year. McCourty's been good. Jackson's been good.
I mean, Gilmore's all pro,
your keys folks. Today?
Yeah, well, not for you.
Oh, for
Christian's
TV, oh,
keys?
TV keys.
Keys,
yeah.
keys?
You guys still doing TV today?
No, it was just one key. It's like a 20-second key.
Oh, good.
You have one key.
Keys, keys! Yeah. Everyone's stealing your bit. So it's their linebackers and defensive line who I watched the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Miami Dolphins in back-to-back weeks absolutely gut the Patriots on the ground. I could completely envision Lamar Jackson, the Gus Bus, Kenneth Dixon, those three guys running all over the Patriots defense, and their linebackers looking
the
around
Gus
like, huh? What? Huh? What?
Hey, how well do you think, where do you think the Patriots rank, and don't look it up as far as run defense in the league? What do you think they rank?
16th.
What's the metric?
Go rushing yards per game.
Oh.
What do you think they rank?
Well, actually, probably pretty good because
DFL.
When you win a lot. I don't know. I'll still say 16th.
I'm going to say.
They're 7th. They're 7th in the league.
No, they're
what
not.
About yards?
Yeah, they are.
What about yards per carry?
I didn't look up that stat. So you got to.
Because I'm guessing it doesn't help.
50% run, 50% pass. Because that's 50% stupid.
Opponent rushing yards per game. Let me double check this.
Yeah, but I think that's a little misleading when your team is good.
Well, I'm just saying, what about their points per game?
They're not 7th here.
What about their points per game?
Give me 2 seconds to look it up.
Let me look up points per game.
I don't give a shit about numbers.
Thank you.
I got them 11th in rushing yards per game, not 7th.
All right, here you go. How about yards per attempt? Would you say yards per attempt is an important stat? Yards per attempt gives you an idea because when the Patriots are up, the other team's probably not going to run the ball as much unless you're playing Seattle, right? They're probably going to throw the ball. Yards per attempt, where do you think they rank?
Yards per they're probably 25th.
29th.
Yeah.
Every time they run the ball, they give up 4.9 yards a carry. So something tells me Baltimore's going to run a bunch.
But also something – see, that's what
just run twice
stats
to get a first
like,
down. Run
stats
twice.
Stats are so like
– first down.
I love them, and then I hate them. I have this love-hate.
You brought them up.
I thought you were the
Mutt's admitting that he's falling asleep. Mutt's admitting that he's falling asleep. We're in the nest, aren't we?
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you bring
we're all going to take turns. We're going to go around in a circle.
7th yards per game.
Hi, my name is Christian Fourier. I'm a victim to stats.
29th yards per attempt.
Take this call from Mark. You got the call thing over there?
Yes.
I think you have.
You want
to talk to Mark? Before we get
Mark?
To the break, I don't want to make Mark wait through the break.
All right, let's hear
Mark, you're on NFL Sunday. What's going on?
Gentlemen, great Sunday morning show here.
I agree.
You are the man, too.
Thank you.
Listen, two quick things. Colts, last night, their offensive line, I think their offensive line is the best in the NFL. I mean, they were outstanding. I mean, everyone's talking today about how Houston stunk on defense and they couldn't get it done, blah, blah, blah. Well, that was due to the offensive line play of the Colts. And the kid, the left guy, I don't know his name.
Quentin Nelson. Quentin Nelson, Notre Dame, correct?
Yeah.
He's a beast.
He put Clowney on his back twice.
He's incredible.
I enjoyed I don't know if you guys noticed how much better the broadcast sounded yesterday with Booger McFarland in there with Joe Tess.
He
completely owned Jason Witten. He pushed Witten out of the way.
Listen.
And at one point did a great job. Mark's right. They pushed Clowney back into the end zone like four yards.
Dominated Clowney.
And Booger McFarland just buried him for the last.
Slithering and withering.
Go ahead.
That guy from Notre Dame, he pancaked him twice.
Yeah.
And then my other point real quick, one of you just about 10 minutes ago said Belichick is no longer the best coach in the NFL.
That was Mutt.
I said not far and away.
That was Mutt.
He used to be far and away the best. I think he's much closer to the pack now than ever. Yes.
Okay, well, let me just run this one by you real quick.
Yeah.
Then. Okay, if Belichick was available, let's say the season ends next Sunday. Hopefully
yep.
not.
Could.
Then let's say he leaves the Patriots and, you know, he's going to look around for a new job. Who do you not think he'd be the most sought-after coach of anybody out there?
For every single job. Would Sean McVay. I mean, there are three or four. So would Andy Reid. All these guys, they became available, Mark, and thanks for your call.
If there was an expansion draft for coaches and every coach was available, who would be the first pick?
Sean McVay.
Over Belichick?
Yes.
Yep. Really?
Yes.
Fourier, you want to weigh in?
I was checking that stat that I gave.
Now he's falling asleep. What do you have?
It's 11.
Come on. They're 11.
It's 11, not 7.
Yeah,
right?
They're 11.
First of all, they're 11.
Well, fact check your ass.
But the more important stat is
put the donut 29. Down, Doug Lane.
They're 29.
Hey, Doug, help out the talent down there, Doug. Instead of bitching about the station. Oh, why did Joey do this? Oh, I hate the station. Blah, 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 blah. Help the talent. Help him out.
Make sure he's not even here. I'm running this thing.
Oh, he
myself.
Left a while ago.
Yeah, he's not going. He said he'd be back in an hour.
Oh, is that why he keeps cutting in and out? That's why the audio sucks.
Kid now. Must be.
Yeah, it's why your audio sucks today.
Yeah, he said, hey, lock the door behind. I'm going to lock the door. Don't answer unless you hear the secret knock.
All right, that's the question. Do you want... If the sock is on the door, do not
keep moving.
Keep moving. Who do you want as a Patriots fan? Who do you want to see next Sunday? Ravens or Chargers? Simple question. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your calls coming up. We'll talk to Tommy Kern just about an hour from now.
You're listening to NFL Sunday. Let's get back to it on Sports Radio WEEI.
Perfectionists, guys. I know you guys, and you got more in the tank, okay?
There we go.
Like 31 points, maybe, you know? I'm going to leave it at that. I'm sorry. I don't want to be a Scrooge. I'm not Scrooge. I love you guys.
Love it.
Congratulations!
That is one where the audio is good. You don't quite get the entire story without the video because, he is clearly, does Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts after the big win yesterday, he was celebrating during the game clearly. I'm totally okay with that.
Yes.
Stay out of the locker room afterwards.
You know what? I kind of respect it because if you're going to own a professional sports team, put yourself in that situation. You are the owner.
I will someday, yeah.
You probably
will, yeah.
You keep hitting these bets.
Yep.
You probably will be.
I'm on fire, yeah.
If you own a team, don't you have the right to get as drunk as you want during the game and then go in the locker room and yell at the players? Of course you do.
I know you guys.
Yes, why not? Go down there. You own the team. Why not? Live a little bit. What are you just supposed to stay in the owner's box the whole time and be hands off?
There's nothing worse.
Get down there.
It's very on brand for Jim Irsay. Give him credit.
Get down there.
It's on brand.
Go in the trainer's room. Look for pills. Do whatever the hell you want.
Not a great visual. In the tank.
Why is he wanting 31 points so bad? What's the problem with that?
Because he's trying to figure out what's better than winning 21-7.
How about
31-7?
We didn't score enough.
How about 41-7? So the game went over, Jim.
And they're all looking at him like, uh-oh.
He's your drunk uncle that you see once or twice a year that gets drunk at the family parties for like christenings or Christmas or whatever.
You're waiting
and
for
he
him to
always
offend
wants
somebody.
To give a speech and you're like, oh crap, here comes
Quentin,
Leo.
Quentin, what's up, man?
And you're just waiting. You're like the next word out
let
of
me
his
say
mouth
something.
Is going to offend a lot of people in this room.
Yeah.
You don't
yeah.
know what it is or who it is or why it is, but it's coming.
31 points, maybe, you know.
And then he
God
mentions the
you, like,
Grinch.
Why they all laugh?
Because
he signs their
he's
checks.
The owner. He's worth
that's funny.
That
he's
guy.
Drunk people are funny.
That guy is worth billions of dollars. That
guys.
This guy.
billions of dollars
sounds
he's
like
worth.
A man doing karaoke at a birthday party on a Saturday
fired
night.
Up.
It sounds like.
Was somebody
certain.
Holding him up for that little speech, too? There's no way he's standing on his own, is there?
He's sort of leaning forward.
The video, he's about to fall at any minute.
The video.
I know you guys.
Frank Rice just looking at him like, oh, my God, just please wrap this up. Wrap this up.
He's thinking, this guy's going to be a big, fat contract extension.
Yes, guys, I appreciate you guys. I love you. I love that
points.
Guy in the back.
Like, Jim, please. We got it. Thank you very much. There he is, guys. There's our owner, Jim Irsay. Thank you very much.
Unbelievable.
Imagine but why not? What are you supposed to do? Just sit there and not say a word? You own the team. Do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. No, after the game, yes. Come on in, act stupid, be dumb. Everybody gets a pass after a win like that, though. I'm just going to say it.
Right. Like, don't go Arthur Blank. Don't go on the sideline and look like, you know, a villain from Dick Tracy and then have your, you know, get all sad as the team, you know, collapses.
Have, like, Dracula there on the sideline.
The
Dracula looked at him.
Like, don't do that. That's not going to help anybody. Nosferatu on the sideline. Don't do that. Instead, stay up in the owner's box until the game is over. Then you can go down there. They're all celebrating. You could, for some reason, ask for 31 points next week. Doesn't matter. You own the team.
I want 31.
What's wrong with 21?
Listen, I've seen Hannah on the field live. I've seen Munoz on the field live.
That's right.
I've seen them throw guys around.
I see Jerry Garcia live. That's
Jerry Garcia, man.
There really should be somebody to kind of grab him because, like,
yes, not on camera. I'm fine with all of it. Just not on camera. Not on camera.
Just like your drunk uncle, like you said, like he's
there's a time limit.
A second away from like saying something really uncomfortable.
Yep.
And awkward and that your mom's gonna have to explain away, like, leave him alone.
Oh, I know.
You know, like, he's going through a lot.
He's
right
dealing
now.
With that can't be a live feed on the Colts Twitter account. That can't be. They have to tape that and make sure that was probably very edited. There's probably other parts in there where he did offend somebody.
Yeah.
That's the one time yesterday where McDaniel's like, yeah, I'm kinda glad I didn't get the job.
I know you guys.
We know you too, Jim.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Irsay.
He looked over at
everything.
His wife. He was like, can you imagine we'd be dealing with this freaking clown
this
right
guy.
Now?
Yeah. How many conversations do you think over the course of the season Frank Wright has to have with him? Like one-on-one conversations?
A lot.
That's tough.
A lot.
Got more in the tank, okay?
There we go.
Like 31 points maybe. You know? I'm going to leave it at that.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to be a Scrooge. I'm not Scrooge. I love you guys.
I pay you guys a lot of money.
Imagine him doing X's and O's with Frank Wright.
Oh, my
Why
God.
Why didn't you go for it on fourth down? He's like, I don't know, Jim. It worked out, all right? We won 21-7.
I love the players laughing. It's like when Belichick makes half a joke. Like, and then all media.
It's like the easiest crowd. It's like a best man speech.
Off.
Everybody's just cracking up. Everybody's in the best mood. You just laugh. It doesn't have to be funny at all.
Drunk.
Yeah. Having a great time.
There's no difference between a playoff win and like a drunken wedding party. Like,
or that, I mean,
no
that could have been the third preseason
the gifts
game.
Are better.
He doesn't know. He has no idea
guys,
what's going on.
Guys.
So the question is Ravens or Chargers? Who you want to see in here next week as a Patriots fan? 617-779-7937. Go to Joe and Pembroke. Hi, Joe.
Hey, hi. How you doing, guys?
Hey, hi.
Guys.
I would love the Ravens.
Why?
And the reason is that quarterback is not going to do much. Phillip Rivers almost beat us with half a leg last time. I don't know if you remember.
Huh? I do remember the game that LaDainian Tomlinson pouted on the sideline.
Yeah,
I remember that.
He had a half a leg and he almost beat us.
Phillip Rivers, so, I believe, is 1-7 lifetime against the Patriots.
1-7. That's why I love it.
Oh, he's due.
I want the Ravens.
Wait, you do or you
Hold
don't?
On a I'm having a
Hold
hard
on,
time
Joe,
keeping up here. Joe,
who do you
I
want?
Don't.
So you
Let's
want,
start this over.
Three,
who do you want them
two,
to play?
One. Joe's in Pembroke. Hey, Joe. Good morning.
Hey, Joe. What's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, Joe. How are you?
Morning.
Hi, Joe.
Good. Hi.
Who do you want the Patriots to face a week from today?
The Ravens. And the reason I would love them to play the Ravens because that quarterback is one-dimensional, and the Patriots do well when they play against a team that's one-dimensional. Any team does, for that matter.
Well, to Joe's point,
he's had a lot of success, though. You got to admit that.
I think there is some benefit there. when you do one thing really well,
yes.
Good coaches like Bill Belichick take that one thing
Patriots,
away.
Yeah, they do.
My issue would be there are two things they do really well, and they all sort of work together. They obviously play really, really good defense and have held opponents to a 63.5 quarterback rating in their last three games, and I think a 70-something quarterback rating all year, which is second best in the NFL behind the Bears.
Ball control.
Then offensively.
Ball control.
You can mock it all you want.
No, they do.
They
kind of
live limit your possessions. Yeah. They force you, and go back to watch that Rivers game at week 16. Rivers tried to do too much in that game. Antonio Gates tried to do too much. He fumbled the football away because they knew you get limited chances against the Ravens because they hold the ball for 35, 36 minutes a game.
Well, you know,
so that's
funny too,
a couple, two, three things they do that make it very tough to play against.
And normally you just look at the quarterbacks and you say, oh, whoever the better quarterback is, that team has a better chance. But if you go back, just even Patriots history in the playoffs, they've lost to some loser quarterbacks. Like, they lost to Mark Sanchez.
Sure have,
they
yeah.
lost to Joe Flacco before. I mean, Nick Foles, I don't know how you want to grade him, but I mean, he wasn't even the team starter going into the year, and they lost to him. So
yeah, great quarterbacks have not been
even
the big
Peyton
issue
Manning
for the
at the end of his career.
No.
Right, exactly.
Good defenses have been.
It's almost, Lamar Jackson almost fits that mold more, like a guy that finds a way to beat the Patriots in the playoffs than Philip Rivers, who's, you know, probably a Hall of Fame quarterback.
617-779-7937, the phone number. 3 hours from now, you'll hear it here on WEEI with Ian Eagle and somebody else. I'll figure out who was during the break. They have the call. Both playoff games here on
Pat
Westwood
McAfee?
One.
That'd be good.
Not Pat McAfee, no.
Too bad.
But we'll get to your calls on who you want to see come in here. The winner of this afternoon's game comes to Gillette next Sunday. We'll get to all those phone calls.
Guys.
We come back. We'll spend some time on the Patriots because it's been a weird year for Christian Fourier. He's been on the bandwagon.
He's been off. Like Gronk, roller coaster.
That's a good way of putting it. And I guess definitively,
yeah,
he finally said this week where he is, kind of, sort of, where it comes to this team.
Flush it out.
We'll talk about the Patriots' chances next here on NFL Sunday.